Welcome to the Parents Place podcast with Hillary and Jen.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast. We have a special guest with us today. We see her quite often, but she's still special and she's still a guest to our podcast. But this is Anna Lee, and she is one of our clinicians with us here at the Family Place. And so we love having her here. We were just joking before that we've tried to snag her for many, many months to be a guest here on our podcast because she is so knowledgeable in what she does. And so we are thrilled that we have you. We got you here today. So how long have you been at the Family Place with us again?
Yeah, it's great to be here. And I've been at the Family Place for 5 years. I just had my 5-year anniversary.
Nice. Yeah. And you work in our therapy department, but I know you do very specific things within our therapy department. So tell us all that you do.
Sure. I'm a clinical supervisor in our therapy department, and so I supervise part of our therapy team, especially focusing on those that are working towards getting their licensure and helping our interns that come in every year.
Okay. She's one of our head honchos here that we're so glad.
I'm definitely not that.
It's a part of our team. What interested you, to pursue a therapy career as you were going to school?
It's still interesting to me that I landed in therapy because it was not what I had envisioned for myself. But I always knew that I was interested in people from a very young age. I always loved to people watch, and being the youngest of a big family, there's always lots to watch. And so I knew I wanted to work with people, and so thinking very differently, but I think therapy came in my direction just through figuring out what I wanted to study in school, mm-hmm. and then opportunities that came my way, and leaning towards the flexibility of the job, as well as being able to really help people and learn new skills, and then I've been doing it for 15 years. So
nice. And we've talked about our therapy department here at the Family Place before, but for those audience members that are listening and thinking, I adore her, she needs to be my therapist. Just to remind our audience as to how one can access the services at the Family Place, whether that is in person, virtual, outside of Utah, inside of Utah, kind of just go over just the basics of how one can participate in these services.
Yeah, with therapy, it's really just as simple as calling the main number and saying, you know, I need therapy, or my child needs therapy, or what do I do to get into therapy? And they can set you up with a screening right then, or have someone call you back. It's really quite an easy process now, as processes change and evolve, mm-hmm. and simplify. And so that's all it takes. It's a phone call.
Nice. Yes, and it's usually not that easy, so we're so glad that we have it that way here.
What states? Because I know we have a therapist in Florida. I know we've been trying to get into Idaho, so what states can we do?
Yeah, so our therapist in Florida, she's another clinical supervisor, so she's able to do some telehealth clients.
Here in Utah?
From here in Utah. Okay. But my guess is she's also licensed in Florida as well. And so, but she is very part-time and does mostly the supervision piece. There are a couple of us, myself included, that are licensed in Idaho as well. Mm-hmm. And then one of our marriage and family therapists is licensed in Idaho as well. So the thing with therapy, it's not necessarily where the clinician is, but mm-hmm. where the client is. And where they're based.
So okay.
If we have a client in Idaho and they're wanting therapy and telehealth therapy, but they're going to be in their home, then it would need to be a clinician that's licensed in Idaho.
Okay.
To see them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So because there are some specifics that we'll need to check on, just if you are interested in our therapy department or our therapy services at the Family Place, like you said, just call. We'll have one of our receptionists or someone on our team walk through that process mm-hmm. and help figure that out. And if for whatever reason the therapeutic services at the Family Place can't be accessed, we'll help you find somewhere else. So connect you to other resources out there. Okay, this is a really good topic and perfect for January. I was thinking about it and I was thinking about January, and I gotta ask you guys, because January to me is, I think there are people that love it and there are people that hate it. And I think that, you know, you have those people that are so excited for this new year and new goals and new challenges, and then there's others that are like, bag it. I don't want anything to do with that. Why even bother? Because I know that I'm just going to drop whatever I decided in about a week. And so I think January is a time that there's a lot of positivity and there's a lot of optimism, but it's January.
Mm-hmm.
And so January is also really hard. The holidays are over. For me, like, the fun is wrapping up. You're going back to a regular routine. Kids are back in school. It's cold. And so I think that there are a lot of individuals that struggle this time of the year. And so we're going to talk a little bit about reframing our negative thoughts, which is why I think this is a perfect place to discuss this.
Yes, because our little activity this morning, I'm like, oh my God. I have to think about what I want to change and what I want to do better in.
I know.
Nay, nay. Sean made me do it a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, it wasn't even a couple weeks ago, a couple of nights ago. I'm like, I don't want to think about what I need to change and do better in. But
well, I mean, we all know change is hard. Change pushes us out of our comfort zone. It requires us to do something different, which we don't like to be pushed out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We like to do things the way that we know how to do them, the way that feels comfortable. And so
I'm a big fan of ordinary.
Right?
Well, I'm over here going, yeah, so maybe I need to reframe my negatives. So this will be a good one for me.
So let's start with this. We use this word reframe. Why don't we start at the beginning and just kind of define what that word means?
So reframing, as far as how we use it in therapy quite often, is linked to a therapy modality, cognitive behavioral therapy. And reframing our negative thoughts is more just that. Sometimes when we get in those negative thoughts, it can increase our anxiety, it can increase feelings of depression, and some of those problematic things that we might experience. And so if we're able to reframe those thoughts into something more helpful, then we can just have more capacity within our mind and body to address whatever it is that's, you know, on our plate.
Okay. So I'm making the assumption having negative thoughts is okay, it's normal, but it's just how we go about responding to those negative thoughts. I mean, negative thoughts makes it seem like that's a bad thing. Like, it tells, like, should we embrace it? Should we steer away from it? What do we do with negative thoughts?
I think we just notice when our thoughts are negative and when it's not being helpful in uh-huh. a situation. If we're starting to notice that our negative thoughts cause us to maybe spiral into more negative thoughts and more depressive feelings or more anxiety, then it's a good time to recognize that that's happening mm-hmm. and maybe take a minute to assess what those thoughts are really telling us and if they're true.
This is going to go off the cuff, so. But I think about individuals in my life, and I think about how I just know some people in my life that are incredibly positive. They're those people that just can always find, like, the light and the darkness, you know, and they just walk through always being able to see the good. I'm not one of those people. I want to be, and I'm working on it. But with negative thoughts, is there a normal as to like how often we see negative, like are feeling negative thoughts versus positive thoughts? How do we become one of those more positive people in our life? What can we do to be that one? That one that I'm continually seeking for in my life, right?
I like those ones, but I also like it when they have a bad day.
So that you can be like, all right, like, you are normal.
You are human.
And is there genetics to that? Are people just born with like a more positive nature? I know that's about 5 questions all at once. So, go.
The few thoughts off the top of my head are everyone is different.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we all have different ways of dealing with challenges or problems or relationships. And we all have our learned experience from, you know, growing up in our mm-hmm. particular homes mm-hmm. and with our families and maybe what we've learned as we've gotten older. So not every 2 people are the same.
Yeah.
And so to not judge ourselves and compare ourselves to someone else is, I think, important because we have our strengths and they have theirs.
Yeah. I always make fun of my mother because she always says, don't think negatively about yourself. I'm like, Mom, where do you think I learned that? Hmm. I learned it from you. I love you, Mom. But so, yeah. But it's not good to compare.
Yeah,
ourselves to other people. So hard not to do, but especially with social media. Mm. There's my soapbox. I think it comes up almost
I know.
Every other podcast. But, yep. You see only the good. I would love to see people's bad sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to normalize it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's walk through this process of how to go about reframing that. So I see something on social media, and maybe I look at this beautiful image of a family decorating their Christmas tree, and their home is clean, and their children are smiling, and everybody looks beautiful, and I've just spent the last 10 minutes fighting with my own children. So how do I take this negative thought of, I'm not a good mom, to reframe that?
But I do have kind of an exercise that maybe we could go through to help us practice the skills of how to reframe.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay, and how to do it. Say, for example, you ask your kid, hey, can you come unload the dishwasher for me? And you hear the words, no.
Mm-hmm.
If that's ever happened to anyone else, maybe
never,
I'm alone.
Never.
But you hear the words, no, and in my head, I hear, why don't they listen to me?
Uh-huh.
What have I done as a mother to have kids that tell me no? Am I? I'm an awful parent. I hate that they don't listen to me. Why don't they respect me? I'm the worst. How did I get to this place, mm-hmm. right? And it just goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And this happens in just a matter of seconds, all of these negative thoughts with one no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I feel those thoughts and I look back to when I have experienced that, and I know that I have because I wrote down this experience for myself, but I feel overwhelmed, I feel ashamed, I feel like I've a failure, and all of these emotions that are really heavy and uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right? That's what I feel when I have those thoughts. And when I'm in that mind-body state, feeling all of those thoughts from hearing the word no from one of my kids, I act in a way that is, I start micromanaging. Mm-hmm. I get nitpicking on everyone. I start yelling more. Mm-hmm. I start lecturing, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I want them to learn to be helpful. Mm-hmm. I want that so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start to lecture. And I have all of these behaviors that are shown in my family when this happens that I don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a cognitive behavioral triangle, and that's what I just explained,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an event that happens. I have these initial negative thoughts, feelings associated with those thoughts, and then I act in a certain way because of them, right?
Okay.
And they kind of just go on and on.
So it's how my favorite shape again.
The triangle.
I hate
and
them.
And they're so sturdy.
What is it? Darn pointy shapes.
But how to reframe it using that same CBT triangle is, okay, so if my kid comes, I ask my kid, and I'm probably standing at the sink, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to do dishes, but the dishwasher is full. So then I'm yelling across the house, hey, can you come and unload the dishwasher? And I hear the word no. I might think to myself when I'm trying to reframe, okay, maybe I need to have a different approach. Maybe mm-hmm. they didn't hear me correctly. Wow, to be 13 again, how would that be?
And to think you're so busy when you're really not that busy. You know, that's what I always think about mine.
Maybe yeah, I need to go to the room. Maybe they need to see my face instead of
exactly.
just hear my voice.
I need to change my approach.
Yeah.
Let's go face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're in the middle of something mm-hmm. that I don't know because I'm not in the same room.
But they mm-hmm. see as very important. To us, it may not feel important, but to them, it exactly. is important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when I change my thoughts to, why do they say no to me all the time, to maybe I need to change my approach and actually go in there, see what's happening,
mm-hmm.
And ask again.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when I have those types of thoughts, I feel more empowered as a parent. I have more options. I feel a little more capable. I feel hopeful that maybe I can get some help.
Mm-hmm.
I feel just like I have more control of the situation,
mm-hmm.
more calm, more patient, right? All of those feelings. And when I'm in that kind of mind-body state, thinking of this experience, then I have the flexibility in my thinking to actually go into the other room,
yeah.
find out what's happening, ask them face-to-face to come do it now, please.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have more ability to create cooperation
mm-hmm.
instead of coercion
mm.
with that reframe.
Mm-hmm. And there's no hard feelings then.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't end up feeling guilty and ashamed of how I've treated my kids and my family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't experience those
yeah.
when I'm able to reframe and be a little bit more curious, more patient,
mm-hmm.
and more calm in my mind and in
yeah.
my body in that moment.
So as one is practicing the initial stages of reframing, maybe this is something we are not used to doing, we're trying for the first time. Is there power in like saying this out loud to ourselves and writing it down? Is it just work for most people just kind of going through it and saying it in our head? How am I feeling? What's going on? How do I tend to respond? I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to start day one. I'm going to try this, and I've never done this before. What's the best way to like begin that implementation?
I know that when I've worked with clients that are starting this skill for the first time, it's helpful to think of past experiences like we just did
mm-hmm.
and practice reframing them and
okay.
maybe write it down, right?
Okay.
Draw your triangle,
mm-hmm.
write down your thought, your feelings afterwards, how you acted, what your behavior was. And then reframe those thoughts into something that's more helpful. Not necessarily more positive,
mm-hmm.
but something that's more helpful.
Okay.
Right? And how would you feel if those were your thoughts in that moment? And express, you know, like some possible feelings you would have had. And how do you act when you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And then those behaviors that you've experienced before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's helpful to do some practicing on things that you've experienced maybe in the past,
mm-hmm.
instead of working on maybe some in the heat of the moment.
Yes.
I'm going to try to figure this out right here, right then.
Yeah.
Because then you have some knowledge that you can do that and that you've practiced.
Yeah. When you're in the heat of the moment, you're not going to think about it.
We know kids
so,
don't,
yeah.
so why would we?
Yeah.
So your brain's not working
exactly.
right. And so, yeah, doing it at a positive time is a lot more helpful.
Yeah.
Because then you can practice it, and then hopefully it just comes a little bit more naturally
mm-hmm.
when a hard thing does come
mm-hmm.
up.
Right. And you're going to get more of yourself mm-hmm. in the way you choose to react and respond mm-hmm. To whatever the challenge is.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be more aligned with your values mm-hmm. and how you want to, you know, address the issue.
Yeah. I'm assuming this is a skill we can teach our kids as well, too, and help them learn this process. Do we explain it in the same way to young children and kind of have them go through the same process of, let's talk about things that have happened in the past? Does it look like a similar situation?
Yeah, I think so. Especially, I mean, I do the same whether I'm working with adult clients or mm-hmm. whether I'm working with younger clients. We practice, you know, the same way. And everyone learns differently. You were asking before, like, do we draw it out? Do we think about
yeah,
it? Like,
mm-hmm.
how do we do it? And everyone learns differently, too. Mm-hmm. So if it's helpful to draw a triangle and you draw it out, then great. But if you can think about that process in your head, that's great, too.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to talk it out with someone, that works as well. So there's no right or wrong, best way, worst way. It depends on the way you like to learn.
Yeah.
And the same with kids. You know, we know our kids best, so what's going to help them?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a concept that it's fairly easy to understand. There's not any big therapy clinical language associated with what are your thoughts, what are your feelings,
mm-hmm.
how do you act in that way?
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can learn it.
Yeah.
So we're even talking younger. I mean, like, is there an age where you would start practicing this skill?
I think developmentally you have to realize if kids are able to really, in the moment or even after, think about their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty sophisticated
yeah.
ability. And so you need to make sure that you're not putting that expectation on kids that just aren't able to developmentally,
yeah.
right? To think about our thinking. And so elementary aged kids, I think, are starting to
okay.
explore that a little bit
mm-hmm.
more and be able to think about, what was I thinking back then?
Mm-hmm.
How did that make me feel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
I watched my niece the other day, her little girl, she's 2.5, and she was not happy with her dad. And so my niece went over and grabbed her hand and said, "Now I know you're angry with daddy right now." And then I didn't hear because she started walking off with her daughter. And I'm like, well, how great is that? That she is naming that feeling in that moment, giving her permission to be angry. And she walked off just fine. But I'm like, how great is that? That she's starting that young to name those feelings. So when she can think more outside of the box and back and forth and things like that, that she has names for those feelings.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to, I mean, even if it's for you practicing, it's another time to practice
mm-hmm.
for when the bigger times come, then it's normal for you.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with her.
She should teach the rest of us.
Because those early ages, our kids' reality is what the parents tell them it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a silly question. But are there times, because I'm thinking there are definitely times where I know there are times where reframing could really help, but I also think there are times where I'm like, I just want to be mad. Just let me be mad. I don't want to process. I don't want to problem solve. I just want to feel all the feelings at this moment, and then I'll be okay. I mean, are there times where we can allow kind of those sad and hurtful and negative thoughts and then move forward? Is that appropriate in a time and a place?
Sure. Feeling your feelings is
yeah.
always okay as far as like the therapy world.
Yeah.
We want people to feel their feelings
uh-huh.
and experience that. What we want is to be able to think about how long and how are you able to sit with discomfort,
mm-hmm.
whether it's
mm-hmm.
anger or frustration. And if our window of tolerance for those kinds of things is pretty wide,
mm-hmm.
then we can know for ourselves that we can feel those hard feelings and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when that window of tolerance is really short and really narrow or
mm-hmm.
small that we feel those hard feelings and then we react in ways that then create guilt and shame and maybe problems for us that we didn't necessarily want.
I remember hearing someone refer to that, of sitting in those hard feelings and being upset and frustrated. And he was like extending that, and his wife finally said, when are you going to stop being negative or something like that and get to work? Sometimes you do have to have someone just to, okay, how long are you going to go? Let's get to work. I know you can solve this problem.
Yeah. And I think that's where we have to just notice that within ourselves, is this negative thinking helping me with the issue that's in front of me? Is me thinking about all of these negative things, is that reality? Are the thoughts that I'm having actually true? Am I believing in these thoughts that maybe are distorted or coming from a place that's not helpful? Right?
I would say for me, most of the time it is a bunch of lies. You just need to tell the lies to be quiet.
Exactly. And that's where the reframing is really helpful.
Someone told me to name it.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Maybe it was on a podcast. I can't remember. But to name it and say, you know, be quiet, Miles. Just leave me alone. Because it is that inner voice that's just going on and on and on. So it's like, be quiet.
Yeah. Well, I've heard before, there's this idea that a thought is just a thought, right? And I can, like you said, naming it and saying, this is a thought. This thought doesn't own me. This, you know, like, but I get to decide, like, I can think it and then I can remove it and I can move forward, like you said, but it doesn't have to define me and it doesn't have to take action if I don't want it to take action.
Yeah, because the consequence of going outside our window of tolerance is we're either hyper-aroused, right? Then we're irritable, we're yelling, we're all of those things that I tend to do. Or we're hypo-aroused, meaning we don't know what to do. And we're kind of frozen in the moment, or we don't have the energy to deal with the problem, or we, right? And so we can also notice within ourselves, how is my body feeling in this moment? And is it helpful for me, you know, to work through this problem or this challenge? And we need to think about those things when we're not in the moment, which is why practicing reframing is so helpful.
We all need a therapist.
That's why we need an Annalie in our home at all times.
Because I'm like, yeah, I need to practice that. But then, you know, you get home and you get in the life and you don't do it. You need to schedule it almost.
Well, in the art growth curriculum that you do in education, they talk about their push buttons, right? And if we can recognize what our push buttons are and then practice reframing when those buttons are pushed, it's going to set us up for success.
Yeah.
I love how this concept focuses on myself, my reaction, and what I have control over. Because I think so often, like you said, in the scenario with the dishwasher, it's easy for us to put the blame on the child. And as you were reframing, you were saying things about yourself. And so, and I think it's so easy for us to be like, that child needs to, or that child is being such a... But I think it's a good process to say, okay, who do I have control over? I have control over myself and my thoughts and my actions. Whether or not they say yes or no, even after I've asked kindly, I'm still going to focus on what my response should be and how I can be helpful in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's a powerful reminder because, like you said, even we might go through that process of reframing and go to our child and look him in the eye and say, sweetie, you know, I really need your help. I need your help right now. Would you please come and empty that dishwasher? And maybe we still get a second no, which is hard, right? Because you're thinking, I was calm. I did what I was supposed to do. And yet still. So how do you, where do you go from there? When you feel like you've taken that step and it still may not be working.
Yeah. And I think that that's a hard one to get to, right? Because then we're at another choice point. do we then start lecturing and yelling and micromanaging, mm-hmm. or do we follow through with whatever our, you know, mode of discipline is, or, you know, how can we, we're at that choice point, like, how can we still encourage cooperation mm-hmm. without coercion? Mm-hmm. And that's really hard, and my family knows that I am not perfect at it, so just because we're therapists doesn't mean in real life that we're able to think about these things. It takes a lot of practice and mm-hmm. figuring things out afterwards, and lots of apologies. Right? And so at every choice point that you come across as a parent, you can then do, you know, a reframe if you need to, mm-hmm. or you can move on. And how do you, you know, if they say no, then what is it that your family does when, mm-hmm. you know, kids are not compliant or cooperative, mm-hmm. or
okay.
to do, you know?
I think that's when those choices and consequences come into play.
Yeah.
Of, okay, I'm all right if you don't do it right now, but it needs to be done by this time.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's not done by that time, then whatever they're doing and the reason why they're not doing it right now, that's when you take that away and say, if it's playing with video games, mm-hmm. okay, then if it's not done by this time, then you can't play video games until it's done. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard, it's another thing that you have to practice, and
mm-hmm.
I think if you haven't grown up with that kind of a thing, that's a hard thing to change.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, it is. And I think too, allowing your kids to make their choice, mm-hmm. and this is hard as well, and respecting the choice that they make, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're choosing the consequence over being cooperative and doing a chore, mm-hmm. then
yeah, you know, let them live that.
Yeah, without the lecture and mm-hmm. without this and that, and respect the choice that they made.
Mm.
Whether it was the consequence or whether it was to come and unload the dishwasher that takes 2 seconds. Yes. I mean, come on.
But it's really easy for us to say those thoughts that are coming yes. to our head. Oh, goodness. You've given us such great tips. I love this. I love this idea. So kind of as we wrap up our time together, any final thoughts, things that you would add to our discussion for our audience?
I think just one last thing is to remember that reframing a negative thought doesn't mean that you need to reframe it with a positive one.
Because
it's not always a positive experience that you're dealing with or, you know, have on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changing your negative thought into something that's more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And to not get stuck into the idea that we have to be positive all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Because Jen's going to sit back and wait for you to have a bad day.
Now that Jen's we know watching. That Jen's thinking that.
Jen's watching.
I just want to make sure that everyone's human.
But I think we can all recognize when we get stuck in that loop of thinking.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then it's creating more anxiety within yeah. us and more those depressive feelings. And we can recognize that we don't want to be there in that mm-hmm. moment. What would be more helpful to think instead of what I'm telling myself right
yeah.
now?
I think that that's, that I'm like, I'm still processing that thought. And I think that that is, because I think sometimes when you have this, when you have this discussion on reframing and positivity in general, I think positivity can be hard because, like you said, we kind of put this this expectation that it has everything is good. It always has to be good. Find a way to make it be good. And sometimes life just is really crappy. And I think it's okay to be like, this is a really crappy situation, right? And there's nothing that can take this crappy situation away. It's still going to be crappy. But what can I do in the moment that, like you said, might feel more helpful than what I'm doing right here?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's powerful, to just embrace the idea that it's hard,
mm-hmm.
right? And it might be hard for a while.
Right.
But what am I going to do? Yeah.
And challenge those
small
thoughts.
Steps.
Uh-huh. Challenge those thoughts that are telling us that we are a certain way or that our relationships should be
yeah.
a certain way. And what's the evidence that what I'm telling myself is true?
Yeah.
chances are
there is not. There is no evidence. Yeah.
So what's something that's more true, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's going to help me respond better.
I just think about myself years ago. I'm glad I can say years ago now. Just being angry all the time. Mm-hmm. And in that, you're negative all the time. Mm-hmm. That is not a fun place to mm-hmm. be. And so I lived for years in that space. Mm-hmm. And it's a lonely space because mm-hmm. no one wants to be around you.
Yeah.
So I think reframing and learning how to do it. I'm not perfect, but I have a plan. I made up a plan. So when I do get in those situations, I can activate my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And it's more helpful. But I do need to be better at reframing mm-hmm. those negative thoughts. And that's a good thing to start, you know, coming this new year. I have still a month that I can be who I am. Mm-hmm. And then January 1st, I can start, let's reframe things.
Get it all out. Get it all out of your system.
Get it out of the next month. And then start over January. But it's a good... That's a great goal to have.
Yeah.
It's something that you can just always be working on.
Yeah. And it's not the idea of starting over, right? Mm-hmm. What can I learn to enhance or change things even just a little bit?
Yeah. Well, because it's like you said, we're not starting over because one of the first practical tips we want to use is looking back mm-hmm. on situations in the past and learning from those situations. Yeah. So I like this idea of it's not necessarily, here's my January 1st, here's the clean slate, forget everything I've done before. Like, we're dwelling on those experiences mm-hmm. to help us become better. So, I like that, utilizing those as our kind of stepping ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Anna Lee, for coming today. I really appreciate it. You give us a lot of good food for thought, and hopefully we can put it in practice. Maybe I'll put a sign on my little desk that says reframe.
There you go. It's been fun.
Yeah. I'm glad we got you here. And you just might be coming back for other topics. So we thank our listeners for coming today. We hope that you were able to gain some information that you can apply to your life. And we hope that you can remember to be kind and patient with yourselves. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Parents Place podcast. If you would like to reach us, you can at parents@thefamilyplaceutah.org, or you can reach Jen on Facebook, JenDaly-TheFamilyPlace. Please check out our show notes for any additional information. Our website is thefamilyplaceutah.org if you're interested in any of our upcoming virtual classes. We'd love to see you there.